The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on your radio dial. Also, that great app, WCWP Radio. If you go to your apps and you download WCWP Radio, it's very easy. You can listen to the show live and any show that's live. We also archive all of our shows with Project Independence, and you can listen to any show that's ever been recorded. Isn't that right, Christina?
A lot of shows.
So today we have a great show, as usual. Our producer, Christina Liu, put together, you know, amazing guests and the greatest co-host ever, Otto Loos. How are you, Otto?
You're going to make my ego big here.
I know. It's true. We just kind of got you down, and now you're going back up again. But we do, Otto, have some great guests today. Right now, we're going to be speaking with Mary Beth Heinecke. And Mary, you have a very big title, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Alzheimer's Association Long Island Chapter Volunteer and Director of Adult Day Healthcare at Cold Spring Harbor Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation in Woodbury. And we'll be talking to you very shortly. And our next guest is going to be Gail Sellis, who is actually a Project Independence caseworker, and she's been with Project Independence for many years, and we'll be talking to her. She specializes once a week with the veterans, so she's our veterans caseworker. So we'll be talking with her a little bit later. And then, of course, we've got old-time radio. We'll be listening to The Inner Sanctum, The Girl and the Gallows. That sounds really exciting. And then, of course, Talk of the Town with Christina Liu from 11:30 to 12 p.m. So old-time radio goes on from 11 to 11:30, and then we come back on after that. So we had a very exciting week, especially last week at Project Independence, where we had our Aging in Place conference, which was a big success, and then followed by our Veterans Breakfast, which we had last Friday.
I was at both of them, by the way.
I know you
both
were.
Great.
You and the missus. She was, you know, right there with you. So
Free breakfast
two days in a week. So Otto was there, of course. But let's get right into the show. We have, as I said, Mary Beth Heinecke, and she's a first-time radio show person. So, you know, we're just going to go kind of, you know, not really give her the hard questions. We're not playing hardball yet. That'll be the second segment. But so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you're a social worker, and you're not originally from New York, but here you are.
No. I've lived here about 30 years now. So, but if you listen to me carefully, you'll still hear the Midwest twang every once in a while.
Okay, we'll point that out for you.
I was born in Chicago, went to school in Indiana. Then I taught 7th grade English in St. Louis at a Lutheran school. Wanted to make more money, so I moved east. For the public school system, but that's not where God wanted me. So I cleaned houses for a while till I figured out what I wanted to do with my life and went back to social work, was my original major instead of English.
Okay.
And that's what I've been doing since 1996.
So how long have you been with the Alzheimer's Association as a volunteer? So your role with the Alzheimer's Association is as a volunteer?
Well, it's interesting. I started out wanting to run a support group. And I tried to run one in the nursing home, and nobody showed up. I said, well, there must be a reason. So I tried to run one in my church, and I got 15 to 20 people every single month. So I said, well, this must be meeting a need in the area. So I continued that. And then I saw that they needed volunteers for community education, going to libraries and senior centers. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, maybe I could do that. So they had me shadow a few employees who did these community education presentations, and I saw how easy it was. Because they give you the laptop, the PowerPoint.
Right.
You just basically click next and talk. So
you have good prompts.
Very good prompts. So it was very, very easy. And I really enjoyed talking to the public.
What you mentioned that when you first tried to run these support groups, nobody showed up. And then you did it in the church and a lot of people showed up. Was that basically because it was more the caregivers who showed up as opposed to the people who actually had Alzheimer's?
The support group were for caregivers.
Right.
Both at the nursing home and at the church.
Okay.
I think it's the institution itself that people didn't want to come to an institution and share their feelings.
Oh, okay.
They were more comfortable in a church setting.
Right, right.
Or a library setting that's more neutral.
You know, we also, back then, too, more so, talk a lot about at Project Independence, about caregivers that, you know, Otto, we always say so many people are caregivers to their spouse or to their child. They don't define themselves as a caregiver. They just do what they're supposed to do.
No.
But they are caregivers. They're they many times give up a lot of things in life to care for somebody else, whether it's work or socializing, you know, depending on what the needs are of the person they're caring for.
There's just so many people, so many people. The stats from 2019 from the Alzheimer's Association state that 16 million Americans provide unpaid care for a person living with Alzheimer's disease or another form of dementia. That's a lot of people.
Well, it's a lot of people. And the thing that strikes me is that it's not like a one-shot proposition. This can go on for years.
Right.
You know, as I've seen it in my own world, you know, it can go from a year to 10 years.
Right.
And that can be quite a drain on the caregiver, I believe, you know, physically, mentally, financially, many ways. And it's a tough disease.
You know, having programs where there are supportive services, where there's community education, but trying to get to people who are actually caregivers to make them understand that they are a caregiver and they're not alone.
They need respite.
There are programs out there that provide respite care. They provide, you know, all kinds of services to help support the caregiver. But, I mean, I've talked to many seniors at Project Independence, and you know they're taking care. They come out. Their husband or spouse is at home. You know, and
child
is watching.
And they tell you, "This is what I do because this is what I do. This is what I'm."
Right.
That's not a big deal. I just do it.
Right. But they don't know that they're a care. They don't define themselves as a caregiver. They're like, "What do you mean I'm a caregiver? I'm just taking care of my wife or my
husband."
You're
not a paid caregiver, but you are a caregiver.
Right. But that there are, you know, it is like the dynamics of that are, you know, the things that happen, the feelings they have, the loss they feel, the tiredness, the constant, you know, being a primary caregiver, they, you know, should know about these services. So it's becoming a little bit more out there now.
But a little bit, but there's still a lot of work to do, I feel. There's still a lot of education to do.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of people that need to be reached and touched and hugged and told you're not alone. You're not alone in this. It's not like a cancer diagnosis. There's no comparison between cancer and Alzheimer's disease. And yet, it's okay to talk about cancer.
Right.
It's okay now to talk about cancer, but people still are reluctant to talk about this brain disease.
Well, if you think about it, you get diagnosed and tests get taken and they say you have cancer, whatever it is, because it's based on a test or something.
Right. Concrete evidence.
And to me, one of the biggest issues with dementia / Alzheimer's, the whole thing, is the initial part of it. I just talked to my own doctor, as a matter of fact, this week about this as being one of her more difficult things that she handles. By the way, she's going to be on this show in a couple of months.
Of course she is, yes.
But one of the more difficult things she handles is the diagnosis of Alzheimer's in the first place. And the fact that she gets phone calls from family members who they suspect their family member has Alzheimer's, but she can't do anything about that because the person who's really the one who might have the problem has to agree to be tested and everything else.
Right.
And a lot of people, because it's not clear, like cancer,
right.
A lot of
right.
people sort of are in semi-denial in that process right. that they are having a problem. You know, they attribute it right. to I'm getting old or whatever.
Right.
And it's I think that's one of the biggest problem areas. You know, once somebody's diagnosed, that's a different game. But until that point, you know, you're kind of caregiving too, but...
And now there's so much research from the Alzheimer's Association being poured into how much does your lifestyle affect your brain health to try to steer the conversation to, I'm 59, what can I do at 59 to keep my brain functioning and keep my brain healthy to maybe put off this terrible brain disease.
Well, the other thing that, too, we should mention is that Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. So there's that umbrella of dementia. So if you're going to your doctor, you know, the doctor isn't going to, he could also diagnose you with some other form of dementia. But certainly they are, you know, have the same kinds of, you know, conditions. So, you know, it doesn't mean that it's definitely Alzheimer's if you're suffering or with
that's one
dementia.
Of the gray areas to me
right.
is okay, you have dementia. There are different kinds of dementia.
Right.
Does every dementia lead to complete going down, or are there some forms of dementia where you're going to sort of
like
stay
linger.
In that zone for as long as whatever? You know, you never reach like what do they call it, phase stage four or
right.
three, two, one. Do you reach different stages in all forms of dementia, or can you just ride through
right.
in that category?
At least in my experience yeah, in the nursing homes and in the daycare programs, I don't see people riding through and staying stable.
Okay, so that's usually
yes.
no matter what the dementia.
Yes,
it's,
that's not, just my experience.
No, well, you've got more experience than we do. We,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's always up here, though.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
What's the outlook if you get into that situation?
But sometimes you can have a person who is also going through maybe pneumonia, not getting oxygen to the brain, or you know there are also
medications
that could mm-hmm. Cause similar symptoms, mm-hmm. but maybe it's not dementia. But you know, so in that case, I guess.
But we are so fortunate to live in Nassau County, because there are so many resources.
There are
that if you go upstate New York. Or different, more rural parts of the country, you won't have this radio show. You won't have
right.
Aging-in-place organizations. You won't have medical model daycare programs. We are very fortunate.
We are fortunate. And that's a great segue into the next segment, because we only have about 30 seconds left. So let's talk about all that is available out there. For people in Nassau County and North Hempstead. And we will be right back with Project Independence and You here at WCWP.org.
One of the other things that I...